In fact, the revelation I received on the very day of his birth hinted, in a very subtle way, at his death, and at the fact that he would become a source of great trial for the people. One such revelation was, Inna arsalnahu shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira, kasayjibin minas samai fihi dhulumatun wa ra'adun wa barq, kullu shay tahta qadamayhi. Which means, we have sent this child as witness, bearer of glad tidings and a warner. He is like a big storm cloud that brings all kinds of darkness and thunder and lightning. All this rests under his feet, and it will be manifested once he raises them, i.e. when he passes away. The darkness here means the trials and tribulations which visited people after his demise. The ordeals they faced were like darkness and were a manifestation of the Quranic verse, وَإِذَا أَدْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا, which is from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 21, which means, and when it becomes dark to them, they stand still. The order of the revealed words show that the passing away of the child was to be followed first by darkness and then by thunder and lightning. This is exactly how the prophecy is being fulfilled. Bashir's demise was immediately followed by the darkness of trial and tribulation, and this will now be followed by thunder and lightning. It is inevitable that the promised thunder and lightning should appear in the same way as did the darkness. And when that light comes, it will remove all the dark thoughts from people's minds and hearts and disperse all the objections of the ignorant and spiritually dead. The aforementioned revelation, as soon as it was received, was related to hundreds of people, including Maulvi Abu Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Batalvi and other eminent people. If our supporters and our opponents closely ponder over the contents of the revelation, they will realize that the darkness had been decreed by God. He announced its coming through his revelation and made it clear that both darkness and light lay beneath the feet of this child, and that when he would raise them, i.e. pass away, both would be manifested. People who have witnessed the darkness, do not be perplexed. Rather be happy and rejoice, for light will soon follow. Just as Bashir's demise fulfilled this prophecy, it also fulfilled another prophecy mentioned in the announcement of 20th of February that some of my children would die in infancy. Finally, let it be clear that I have complete and absolute trust in my Lord to take care of my affairs, and I am not bothered whether people are with me or against me, whether they accept my claim or reject it, whether they like me or hate me. Disregarding everyone and considering everything except God to be as good as dead, I carry on with my mission. There are some from among our own people and belonging to our own religion who look disdainfully at what I am doing, but I make allowances for them, knowing that what has been revealed to me has not been revealed to them, and the thirst I feel has not been felt by them. Everyone acts according to his own way. From Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, verse 85. At this juncture, I would also like to mention that I have learned through some articles written by certain scholars that they do not approve of my revealing to other people the spiritual blessings and heavenly signs which I experience, and which find their culmination in the acceptance of prayer and in divine revelations and visions. They argue that all this is based on guesswork and surmise, and proves to be more harmful than beneficial. They also say that these phenomena are more or less common to all human beings, some even going so far as to suggest that they are experienced by all people in equal measure. They tend to think that religion and piety and establishing a relationship with God have nothing to do with such experiences, and that these are natural abilities common to all people. Whether one is a believer or a disbeliever, pious or impious, one will possess these abilities more or less equally. This is their stated point of view, and it clearly betrays the weakness of their intellect, their superficial thinking, and their lack of knowledge. But when we go on to analyze their condition with the aid of true insight, we find that negligence and worldliness has completely eroded their ability to understand the matters of faith. Like lepers whose limbs begin to rot in the advanced stage of the disease, their worldliness has caused their spiritual faculties to fall into decay. They do not at all reflect upon religious truths and verities, and are given to mockery and ridicule, doubt and suspicion. They are indeed so cut off from the truth and so averse to seeking true knowledge that they never once ask themselves why they have come into this world and what is the purpose of their existence. They indulge night and day in the pursuit of material things and have lost all consciousness of how far they have strayed from the truth. Even more unfortunate is the fact that they take their own fatal illness for health and look down upon those who are blessed with true well-being. They do not value the excellences of sainthood and of nearness to God, and have given in to hopelessness and despondency. Should they continue in this state, they are in serious danger of losing their faith, even in prophethood.